So at the age of 24 years old, I left the army. Now, I'd joined the army for a reason, the British Army, to serve Queen and country. I guess what you could say back then was that I wanted to do something significant with my life. I wanted to do something significant with my life because I wanted to be seen by other people as significant in their eyes. So I joined the army to serve Queen and country, to go to war and do my bit. But the only problem was after 8 or 9 years, the army for me just wasn't all that I'd expected it to be. There was a lot of sitting around. Yes, I travelled the world, went to Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and a few other really hot places with scorpions and spiders. But there was so much sitting around. And I know that the movies in Hollywood make being a soldier really glamorous and all that sort of thing, but it's not. To be honest with you, for me, it was really, really boring. I hated being told what to do, getting spoken down to by really insecure men who needed their ranks and their positions to make themselves feel more confident within themselves. So when I wanted out, I wanted out. And once I'd made my decision, that was me, I was leaving. And the day came when I walked out the army gates, had handed back my identification card. Now, your ID card in the army qualifies you as a member of Her Majesty's British Forces. And this was it. I had, over the span of 8-9 years, come to define myself as being a soldier. Now, going back through my basic training, my old hairy, chisel-chinned army training corporals would tell me how useless and worthless and weak my civilian counterparts were. And back then, because I didn't want to be a weak and worthless, insignificant little man, I just bought into this idea, this agreement. And I guess what you could say was, as my identity as a soldier developed, I grew to see myself as being part of the superior human race. And over time, I actually ended up looking down on civilians. So if you'd met me back in my early 20s and you were a civilian having never served a day in the military, I might be nice to your face, but then behind your back, you know what I would say? Fucking civvies. Civvy scum. Kind of like you're not as good as me. Kind of like I'm superhuman or something like that. But that was just me back then, and I'm just being honest. But the problem was that my identity had become attached to what it was that I'd done for a living. Now, I've already introduced you to this idea of these two states of human existence, human beings and human doings. Many people in life define themselves by what they do, and this had become very, very true for me. I'd grown to define my very identity as being a soldier. So back then, if you'd asked me, "Cain, tell me about yourself," I would have said, "Yeah, I'm a soldier. I'm a corporal, actually. Section commander. I've been to Iraq, Kuwait, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, Oman, and a few other really dangerous places," kind of as if those things defined me in some way. Now, back then, you know, I hadn't been taught any of this stuff in school, and as far as I'm aware, they still don't teach everything that I'm teaching you right here in school. They should do, I think, at some point. Maybe that could make that my next purpose or next goal in life. What I'm saying was that this was the day here that I handed back my army identification card, all right? And on that very same day, I unknowingly handed back the identity that I'd grown to attach myself to. Now, you might be asking yourself right now, "So Cain, why are you telling me this? Why is this a problem?" Well, the problem is, it was that day I handed back my ID card. I handed back my very identity. And the further removed I came after 1 year's, after 2 years, guess what? I was no longer a soldier, but I'd already developed these beliefs about what it meant to be a civilian. Civilians are worthless. Civilians are useless. Civilians are shit. They're a bunch of fucking wankers, I used to say. All right, seriously, this was me. I used to be a really angry, nasty piece of work, so you can judge me as much as you want for that. But the problem that I had back then, all right, didn't remove itself. Because guess who I then became? Well, I already had this idea in my mind about what it meant to be a civilian. Useless, worthless, a wanker. So as I no longer had this military identity anymore, guess which identity I went on to adapt? That's right, I became the useless, worthless wanker. Now, whether that's true or whether it's not is by the by. Obviously today I know that definitely wasn't true at all, but back then I was none the wiser, I didn't know. So guess what happened, all right? I fundamentally felt terrible about myself. I felt worthless. My self-esteem plummeted. I felt absolutely useless, hopeless, directionless, passionless, purposeless. Because in the past, I'd fundamentally believed in what I was doing. I thought Queen and Country was a genuinely good thing to do with one's life. It was only through experience that I came to recognise that it actually wasn't. So as I reached this place, I'd tried different jobs, worked on building sites, I'd worked in the doors, been a doorman, trying to be tough. I ended up working in a bank, but my self-esteem continued to plummet. So me being me back then, I adopted the army stroke military mindset, which might be slightly different today than what it was back then, but it was work hard, play hard. When you're working, you're working hard, and when you're playing, you're getting so drunk, you lose complete control of your physical body. And this was kind of the lifestyle that I then pretty much stepped into full time. So what qualifies me as a life coach? Well, to combat the negative destructive feelings, emotions that I was experiencing at the time, anxiety about my future, depression about what I'd left behind in the past, stressed because I didn't know what to do with myself today, I felt worthless, useless, hopeless, helpless, all these sorts of things, I plummeted and found myself in this hole where I became completely dependent on substances to maintain my emotional composure. I would drink on a night time to get rid of the destructive emotions inside of me. This was my coping strategy, if you like. And if you understand anything about addiction, well, you'll understand that enough is never enough. Where one day 5 pints will be enough and 4 or 5 whiskies or whatever I was drinking back then. But then day 2, you need a little bit more and a little bit more. And then day 3, day 4, day 5, a little bit more, a little bit more. So when you fall into this hole, guess what you end up doing? You end up getting your shovel and just digging yourself deeper. And this was where I found myself. I didn't know how to get out of the hole. So in my mind, it seemed to make sense back then just to dig myself deeper, see if I could dig my way out. But this didn't work. So now I'm up to my eyeballs in addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, because the drink was no longer enough. And this was me at the bottom of my hole. And it wasn't until I met a guy called Pete, who walked past the outside of the hole. Pete was a builder. I never knew the guy. He was about 10, 15 years older than me. And he says, Ken, I can see you've gotten yourself into a little bit of a pickle. How would you like some help? And then he extended his hand. And you know what I'd done? Because I had absolutely nothing else at the time, I grabbed it. Now, incidentally, when I was at the pits of my hole, I'd spent around about a month in hospital after 3 failed suicide attempts. Now, the first suicide attempt was just alcohol and painkillers, all that sort of thing. I'd taken a big overdose. But because I have a bit of a cast iron stomach, all I'd done was just made myself violently sick, knocked myself unconscious for a few hours and give myself a really bad dose of diarrhea, all right? So that one didn't work. Attempt number 2, I took myself to the train tracks, lay down, waiting for the train to come. But unfortunately, again, because I was so completely, obliterated with alcohol, I'd missed the last train by 15 minutes. And before meeting Pete, my third and final suicide attempt was actually jumping off a viaduct bridge. Now, I'd done this one sober. I figured, right, okay, I'm not going to take any half-hearted efforts here. I'm going to literally fully commit to this one just to end my miserable life. And when I jumped off the viaduct, I didn't see the tree branch that was directly underneath me. So my back bounced off this big tree branch, which projected me into a big puddle of mud. So what would have killed most people Actually, just got me covered in mud with some scratches and a really bad bruise across my back. So I couldn't even kill myself properly. How useless was I? This is how I was feeling back then at the pits of my hole. So when Pete came along and says, "Can I give you a hand?" I said, "Absolutely." But he didn't just, you know, wait for me to climb out. Pete jumped into the hole with me and then started sharing the steps that he'd taken to get out of the hole that he'd found himself in that was similar to mine quite a few years earlier. Now, the rest is history, but that was the starting point for me on this journey of self-improvement, personal development, life coaching. You may or may not be aware, I teach other helping disciplines such as neuro-linguistic programming and even hypnosis, because I've studied it all for a long, long time. And back then, when Pete had extended his hand to me, I took it and I bit it. And as soon as I got out of that hole, I just ran. And since then, I've not looked back. Because this journey of self-discovery I have found is what set me free in life. It set me free from being ruled by negative, destructive emotions, because these fundamentally are the greatest problem that anyone's ever going to come to you with. So, passion-filled rant over. That's a bit of my background, a bit of my story. It's not all of it though, because there were a series of steps that I'm going to share with you that I took to get out of this hole, which are completely duplicatable. And this is pretty much going to lead me on to put together a full section for you to explain all this in a latter section of the course. And this exact model is what you're going to be able to use to jump into other people's hole and fundamentally help them out too. So I hope this helps you understand a bit more about myself, about life coaching, and what it is that, what the role is that you could fundamentally choose to play in other people's lives. Because if I've already talked about, you know, self-worth, Pete here is one man that I will never forget. He was the one man who was there for me when no one else in the world was, and I will never ever forget. This is the opportunity, this is the kind of person that you have the opportunity to be. So be inspired. I look forward to seeing you again in the next video.